forgot to introduce Father Bart. Father Bart's with us. Father Bart Tolleson, great priest, great brother in the Lord. It's really good to have him here. He's going to be helping out both at Carroll throughout the summer and also at the diocese this summer, and then also into the year. So you'll see him around a lot. So a great guy to get to know. He'll definitely help you get to know the Lord better. So thanks, Father Bart, for being with us. It's great to have you. So I've been enjoying reading some lighthearted satire from the Babylon Bee site. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a Christian satire site. It's actually super funny. And they got a lot of material to work with right now. So I'm gonna share something with you. It's satire, okay? It's satire, folks. Don't take it serious. Don't be writing Bishop Vedder about what Father Mark said, okay? So here it is. San Antonio, Texas. Satire. It's satire. This didn't happen. Everyone has noticed that Neil Rogers is appallingly ignorant of the world around him. This is most emphasized in the way he never reacts to current events with complete panic or despair, as if he just doesn't understand how horrible things are. "It's sad," said John Reynolds, a coworker. "It's like he doesn't even understand how terrible the world is. Doesn't he see the news? Doesn't he read Twitter and see how vile everyone is?" Many credit Roger's ignorance to his Christian faith, the irrational belief that he is loved, that he has a mission to accomplish in this life, and that the world is not just a random mess of awfulness. "He really believes this stuff," says Marvin Hansen, his neighbor. "It's like because of his crazy beliefs, he won't accept the scientific consensus that we're all going to die because of global warming or something, and that it's good we're all going to die because people are terrible." Some of the people around Rogers are planning an intervention to break through his religious faith and get him to understand the facts about the world. Their hope is that eventually he'll react to terrible breaking news not with an unsubstantiated belief that he and his family will ultimately be all right, but with the more educated reaction of wishing a meteor would come and just end everything. Yeah, that's needed right now, okay? That's needed right now. So, fellow Christians, listen. Our faith should give us a different way of walking in the world and give us a different way of walking in this time. It's faith and reason, folks. Reason and faith. So we want to be careful and prudent. That's the reason part. And we have a confidence in God that frees us from panic and giving ourselves over to irrational fear. That's the faith part. So increasingly our world and our country, they're neither reasonable nor faithful. And the consequence of that is an ever-increasing anxiety and anger. And as Christians, we need to stand athwart that. We need to live differently. We need to live in a way that is noticeably different and share that with the world. In short, we're called to be people of radical hope in this time. So we hear St. Peter in the second reading say, "Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope." Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you a reason for your hope. Now, there's a lot in that one sentence, but I want to start by doing a deep dive. Well, not deep. I don't have that much time. Just a shallow dive into the virtue of hope. It's one of the three theological virtues. Virtue is a stable disposition of the soul, and a theological virtue comes from God. So the three theological virtues are faith, hope, and love. They come from God, and they lead us back into the divine life. They come as gifts. We don't work our way to them like we do with the natural virtues. All we do is receive them. We prepare our hearts to receive the gifts that God wants to give: faith, hope, and love. And there's a lot to say about hope, but I want to start with the Christian symbol that's associated with hope. You might know it, you might not. The symbol associated with hope is an anchor. It's a great symbol. You go to Italy, go to Rome in the catacombs, you'll see on the graves the anchor carved into the rock. That was one of the ways to know that that was a Christian, right? Hope, an anchor. And let's just think about that symbol on a natural level, and then we'll look at it as well. In the Christian sense, why did it get associated, hope, with an anchor? Well, it comes from the scriptures, Hebrews 6. We who have taken refuge in the promises of God, that's what the refuges mean here, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm. We hold to our hope as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm. So think about that on a natural level. An anchor connects us to something that provides stability. So if you're a seaman, you have a boat, you drop anchor in the midst of a storm or any other time, and the anchor goes down into the seabed. That's how it works. You don't drop anchor when you're thousands of feet away from the floor of the ocean. You drop anchor when you're close to the ground. And then that digs into the seabed and it gives stability. Or shift it maybe a little bit more to our landlocked Montana people. If you're a climber, you build an anchor. You build an anchor into the rock wall. And that becomes a point of stability because that rock isn't going anywhere. And so we have stability through hope, anchors. Christian hope is rooted in the promise of God, who by his very nature cannot deceive or lie. So when God makes a promise, it will happen. Because by his very nature, he cannot deceive or lie. So hope is a theological virtue because it anchors us into God himself. It comes from him and it leads us back to him as we share in the divine life. And that's very different than our common understanding of that word. Think about what we normally mean when we say, I hope. I hope the weather's nice. I hope I pass my class. Some of you just did that, like extra, right? I hope I pass this final because I didn't study all semester, right? I hope the Vikings kicker makes this kick. That happens to me so frequently and it ends in utter disappointment. But that's a worldly understanding. St. Thomas Aquinas has something very different to say about hope. He says, hope arises from a desire for, quote, a future good, difficult but possible to attain by means of the divine assistance on whose help it leans. A future good, difficult but possible to attain by means of divine assistance. Not something we produce ourselves, but something God helps us achieve. He also says, it's a movement or stretching forth of the appetite toward an arduous good. Arduous means tough. Good that is difficult but possible to attain, and a good that is arduous. See, that's the thing. This whole idea, it goes back to that satire piece. Christian hope isn't just this irrational pie in the sky, like, oh, God's going to make everything better. We don't have to do anything. It's not that. It's not that. It's not rose-colored glasses. Hope points us to something that is difficult, arduous, something that requires perseverance and discipline. And the virtue of hope, as it comes into our soul, makes us tough and steadfast and resilient and courageous and solid like that altar. It's not fancy. It's tough. and resilient and steadfast. And that's what we need in this time. We desperately need it in this time. It's so connected to Christ's sacrifice, hope. In fact, there's a well-known Christian phrase. It says, Ave Crux, Spes Unica Nostra, Latin for hail to the cross, our only hope. Ave Crux, Spes Unica Nostra. Hope gives us a foundation, the theological virtue of hope. And here's the thing. In this time, isn't it amazing to see how many foundations have been built on sand? That things that just fall apart because the foundation was never that solid. Well, Christian hope is not that way. It's a foundation, again, like that altar, solid rock. You build your life on it. It changes how you live. It changes everything about your life. We build our life on our hope in God. That changes everything. But there's something more about hope. Like faith and love, the other theological virtues, it's not just for you. So a different St. Peter Chrysologus, he has a line that I love repeating. He says, you will not be allowed to keep what you are unwilling to give to others. You will not be allowed to keep what you are unwilling to give to others. You keep your faith to yourself, you won't be allowed to keep it. Keep your love to yourself. Self-love. It's the very antithesis of love. You keep your hope to yourself. You will not be allowed to keep it. That's how it works. So, back to the first St. Peter. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope. I want to ask you, are you ready to give an explanation for the hope you have? Do you have hope right now? If you don't, you need to pray and ask the Lord to give you that gift. But then, are you ready to share it? Are you willing to share it? Friends, we need to be ready and willing to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Pope Benedict, he wrote a great encyclical on hope called Spe Salvi. It was the second encyclical. His first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, God is love, so he writes about love. Second encyclical, Spe Salvi, in hope we were saved. So he writes about hope. And he says this, and this is so crucial to us. He said the Christian message was not only informative, but performative. See, this is the difference between just knowing about God, knowing about the gospel message, or knowing it in such a way that you perform everything in your life differently. You live differently. The difference between informative and performative. We don't need informed Christians. We need performing Christians. People who actually live their faith. Who actually live as if Jesus Christ is real and risen from the dead, and they know him. The Pope goes on, that means the gospel is not merely a communication of things that can be known. It is one that makes things happen and is life-changing. The dark door of time, of the future, even in the COVID era, has been thrown open. And the one who hopes lives differently. The one who hopes has been granted the gift of a new life. Friends, live differently because of your hope in Jesus Christ, the hope that he gives you. He says it in the gospel, I won't leave you orphans. He won't leave you. He never does. We're not orphans, we're not alone. And the hope that he gives us never, ever disappoints.